3. The town, then, later in the day, and yet another harvest. Grandfather stood on the wide front porch like a captain surveying the vast, unmotioned calms of a season dead ahead. He questioned the wind and the untouchable sky and the lawn on which stood Douglas and Tom to question only him. Grandpa, are they ready? Now? Grandfather pinched his chin.
500, 1,000, 2,000, easy. Yes, yes, a good supply. Pick 'em easy, pick 'em all. A dime for every sack delivered to the press.
Hey! The boys bent, smiling. They picked the golden flowers. The flowers that flooded the world, dripped off lawns onto brick streets, tapped softly at crystal cellar windows, and agitated themselves so that on all sides lay the dazzle and glitter of molten sun.
"Every year," said Grandfather, "they run amok. I let 'em. Pride of lions in the yard. Stare, and they burn a hole in your retina. A common flower. A weed that no one sees, yes. But for us, a noble thing, the dandelion."
So, plucked carefully in sacks, the dandelions were carried below. The cellar dark glowed with their arrival. The wine press stood open, cold. A rush of flowers warmed it. The press replaced, its screw rotated, twirled by Grandfather, squeezed gently on the crop.
There, so.
The golden tide, the essence of this fine fair month, ran, then gushed from the spout below, to be crocked, skimmed of ferment, and bottled in clean ketchup shakers, then ranked in sparkling rows in cellar gloom. Dandelion wine. The words were summer on the tongue. The wine was summer caught and stoppered. And now that Douglas knew, he really knew he was alive, and moved, turning through the world, to touch and see it all, it was only right and proper that some of his new knowledge, some of this special vintage day, would be sealed away for opening on a January day with snow falling fast, and the sun unseen for weeks or months, and perhaps some of the miracle by then forgotten, and in need of renewal. Since this was going to be a summer of unguessed wonders, he wanted it all salvaged and labeled so that any time he wished he might tiptoe down in this dank twilight and reach up his fingertips. And there, row upon row, with the soft gleam of flowers opened at morning, with the light of this June sun glowing through a faint skin of dust, would stand the dandelion wine. Peer through it at the wintry day. The snow melted to grass. The trees were re-inhabited with bird, leaf, and blossoms, like a continent of butterflies breathing on the wind. And peering through, color sky from iron to blue. Hold summer in your hand. Pour summer in a glass. A tiny glass, of course. The smallest tingling sip for children. Change the season in your veins by raising glass to lip and tilting summer in.
Ready now, the rain barrel.
Nothing else in the world would do but the pure waters which had been summoned from the lakes far away and the sweet fields of grassy dew on early morning, lifted to the open sky, carried in laundered clusters 900 miles, brushed with wind, electrified with high voltage, and condensed upon cool air. This water, falling, raining, gathered yet more of the heavens in its crystals, taking something of the east wind and the west wind and the north wind and the south. The water made rain, and the rain, within this hour of rituals, would be well on its way to wine. Douglas ran with the dipper. He plunged it deep in the rain barrel. Here we go! The water was silk in the cup, clear, faintly blue silk. It softened the lip and the throat and the heart, if drunk. This water must be carried in dipper and bucket to the cellar, there to be leavened in freshets, in mountain streams, upon the dandelion harvest. Even Grandma, when snow was whirling fast, dizzying the world, blinding windows, stealing breath from gasping mouths, even Grandma, one day in February, would vanish to the cellar. Above, in the vast house, there would be coughings, sneezings, wheezings, and groans, childish fevers, throats raw as butcher's meat, noses like bottled cherries, the stealthy microbe everywhere. Then, rising from the cellar like a June goddess, Grandma would come, something hidden but obvious under her knitted shawl. This, carried to every miserable room upstairs and down, would be dispensed with aroma and clarity into neat glasses to be swigged neatly. The medicines of another time, the balm of sun and idle August afternoons, the faintly heard sounds of ice wagons passing on brick avenues, the rush of silver skyrockets, and the fountaining of lawnmowers moving through ant countries, all these in a glass. Yes, even Grandma, drawn to the cellar of winter for a June adventure, might stand alone and quietly, in secret conclave with her own soul and spirit, as did Grandfather and Father and Uncle Bert, or some of the boarders, communing with the last touch of a calendar long departed, with the picnics and the warm rains and the smell of fields of wheat and new popcorn and bending hay. Even Grandma, repeating and repeating the fine and golden words, even as they were said now in this moment, when the flowers were dropped into the press, as they would be repeated every winter for all the white winters in time, saying them over and over on the lips like a smile, like a sudden patch of sunlight in the dark. Dandelion wine, dandelion wine, dandelion wine.